one of the most famous tightrope walkers of all time was a French man by the name of Charles Blondin. Now listen to this. 1859, a long time ago, he walked across Niagara Falls with 100,000 people watching him without a net. Now you think about it, 1859, they didn't have the ropes and the strands and the wire like we do today. Now, he didn't do this one time. He did this year after year after year. It was kind of a feat. He walked across it one time with stilts. No net, stilts. You know, there's a picture up there. He walked across there, and they set up some kind of oven, and he cooked an omelet on a wire over Niagara Falls with no net, and then he lowered the omelet down to people below him in some kind of boat. This guy, he took a chair to the center of Niagara Falls, so halfway this way, halfway that way, and right in the middle, he set up the chair, I mean, think about this, and then he stands on top of the chair for 1 minute. A different time, he got a true story. Go Google it. He gets a wheelbarrow and he takes a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls, and he gets to the other side. Says, "Guys, how many of you think I can go back?" And everybody said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. We think you can do it." And so he turns around and he takes the wheelbarrow back across the wire, and everybody said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. You the man. You the man. You the man. You the man. You the man." He says, "How many of you think I can do it again?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, you can do it. How many of you think I'll fall?" "No, no, you won't fall. How many of you would get in the wheelbarrow with me?" Nobody volunteered. Now, I've heard that story before, but when I think of faith, I think of that. Oh, yeah, we believe in faith for those Bible characters. And we believe in faith for those spiritual people, those deacons or Sunday school teachers. But there's elitism in faith. And there's some people that have that kind of faith, but I'm just a peasant with my faith, and I just don't have that kind of faith. Today, Peter blows that theory out of the water. He says, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the exact same faith that all of us do. Now you say, well, when it says faith here in this passage, what's it talking about? Faith is a belief system. So it's talking about our belief system, the faith. But understand this about a belief system. A belief system is not just something in the past. My belief system is something today, something tomorrow, something next week. So you say, well, that's just talking about when I got saved. No, 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 it's not. This is talking about how you're to live, how you're to act, how you're to make ends meet. When I say your belief system, I'm saying that's how you make it through every day of your life. This morning, four truths about genuine faith. Sermon's entitled, Precious Faith. First truth I want you to notice, the acquisition of precious faith. The acquisition of precious faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So let me give you some background. This letter was written in the early days of the church, and the church had been scattered abroad. They had been persecuted. They had been burned at the stake. They had been thrown in jail. And so Peter writes to encourage them. Peter writes to help them in this difficult time. He says, hey, 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 in times of persecution, you can make it through it. And then in 2 Peter, he comes to them. He says, hey, there's going to be false teachers come among you, and you have to depend upon your faith to make it. Now, when we come to verse 1, notice that one great word, and if you're writing your Bible, circle it. Have obtained, O-B-T-A-I-N-E-D, like precious faith. That word obtained means to acquire. It means to receive by divine allotment. Now, it doesn't say you attain it, A-T-T-A-I-N. It says you obtain it, or you receive it, or you acquire it. Now, this week I was visiting with one of my preacher buddies, and I was like, hey, I'm preaching on faith this week. You got any way for me to get my arms around so I can communicate faith to people in a clear and simplistic way? And my buddy, he quoted from Romans, the just, or faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And he quoted, whole verse, Romans. He says, faith comes. I said, all right. And we spent like an hour together. He says, faith comes. I promise you, I'm not exaggerating. At least 8 times. I was like, okay, help me get my arms around it. 8 times he said, Jackson, faith comes. You don't work for it. It's a gift. You can't earn it. God gives it to you. It just comes. It comes by the hearing of the word of God. So as you respond to faith, he gives you more faith, but you can't work up faith. You can't muster faith. It is a gift. I was like, I wonder if this old boy knows what he's talking about. So I went to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Listen to what it says. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God gives us faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Remember in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, Lydia, the seller of purple, it says the Lord opened up her heart. So let me explain it like this. You don't have to go around dejected. You don't have to go around defeated and say, oh no, I just don't have faith. No. You have all the faith that you want to respond to. Because as you respond to the faith that you have, God gives you more faith. And you say, yeah, I believe you. Yeah, I believe your word. And he says, okay, let's go further. And you will you keep believing? Will you keep trusting? And see, here's my problem with us American Christians. We're rich and we're fat and we got money in our food in our pantry and money in our bank accounts. And oh, I don't have to trust God. So we don't. So we live defeated lives when he says, hey, you have available to you God's resources. And the way you get God's resources is by faith. And I give you the faith. So you just got to grab it. Say, God, you said it. Your word says it. I take it as reality. And I'm going to act upon it. And you get as much faith as Peter did. Number one, the acquisition of precious faith. Number two, notice the accessibility of precious faith. Look at the verse. They have attained, next word, like precious faith with us. If you ever talk to a teenager in this generation, they like the word like. You know it's like. And so I'm reading this and I'm thinking, Peter likes this idea of precious faith. But what's this? You have obtained like precious faith. Now, if you look that up in the Greek, the word like is from the Greek word isos. Now, if you ever took geometry, you know what isos is. An isosceles triangle is a triangle with two equal sides. So understand this, and it may make you get out your hanky. He's saying that you have obtained, you have received, you have acquired from God, and we'll get there in a second, the same type of faith that Peter had, that Paul had, that John had, that John the Baptist had, hold on a second, that Jesus Christ had, you have, it's the same, the exact same, the isos same, you have available to you earth-shattering, earth-moving, miraculous faith. Some Baptists say, well, glory, or not. Listen to this. By faith, Abel, he offered the right sacrifice. Why did he do that? He took God at his word. By faith, Enoch, he walked with God and he was translated so he should not see death. Why? He took God at his word by faith. By faith, Noah, Hebrews 11, 7. He built a boat. He built an ark. Why would you build a boat in the middle of a desert? He took God at his word. By faith, Abraham, he left his homeland. He left his family. He left everything that he knew. Why would you do that? He believed God's word by faith. By faith, Moses' parents, they put him in a ark in a bulrushes in the Nile River filled with crocodiles and alligators. Why would they do that? They believed God's word. By faith, Moses, he left the palace. He left royalty. He left the kingship. Moses, why would you choose to suffer affliction with the people of God? Because he took God at his word. That is faith. Listen. And that's what's available to you. You say, not me, I'm a carpenter. So were the disciples. Not me, I'm just a laborer. Who cares? Paul was a laborer, he made tents. Not me, I don't have a lot of education. And neither did Peter, who's writing this. You have available to you the exact same faith every disciple had. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to leave it for whoever else? Or are you going to say, no. My family needs Jesus. And I'm going to believe that those words in that scripture was for me and my family. No. My church needs the supernatural power of God in it. I'm just not going to leave it for somebody else to claim. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to take it for me personally, and I'm going to claim it for my church. Some of you are going through marriage difficulties, and you say, oh, it's over. Oh, it's done. This book was written for you. First, you have to believe it, and then you have to believe it for your situation. So you're going to leave it on the shelf, or you're going to pull it off and say, no, I need that for this that I'm going through. Number two, the accessibility of precious faith. Number three, notice the asset of precious faith. Now, when you say faith, preacher, what are you talking about? Faith is believing what God has said and doing it. Faith is saying, God said it, and I'm going to put it into action in my life. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, we are saved by faith. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, we live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 tells us we are to walk by faith. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13 says, we are to stand by faith. Matthew 17 verse 20 says, we overcome obstacles by faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12 says, we fight by faith. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, we achieve victory by faith. Do you get it? Here's what God's saying. Everything in your life, you are more than conquerors through Him by faith. So don't go say, okay, I'm going to take on this huge problem at work. You'll lose. But if you go by faith, in the name and power of the Holy Spirit, He said this, and I'm standing upon it, you are more than conquerors through Him. Jesus said of his disciples, Mark 4, verse 40, "How is it that you have no faith?" He said to Peter, "O thou of little faith." He said to the nobleman with the sick son, "Oh, I have not seen such great faith." No, not in all of Israel. Now listen to this. No faith, weak faith, great faith. Here's what I see. Faith can grow. Your faith can grow. Some of you have some situations with your kids and you've given up. Some of you have some situations with spouses and you say, nothing changed in this scenario. Some have some situations with people you work with and you've thrown in the towel and said, nothing can change that person. You are right. Nothing on earth can change that person, but God can. And your faith. God, you said you're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I'm just going to start claiming that for old Bob that I work with. God, you're not willing and I'm not willing that he should die and go to hell. I'm believing that you're going to bring him to repentance. And you start standing on that verse, not just written by some dude a long time ago. No. God, you gave that verse for Bob, whom I work with. And that's when your faith is ignited and it comes into your life, into your scenario. Manly Beasley said this, one of my heroes. Faith is acting so when it's not so in order for it to be so because God said it was so. Did you get that? I had to read it 4 times to get it. He said this, faith is acting so when it's not so in order for it to be so because God already said it was so. And that's what I want you to do in your scenario. A.B. Simpson told of being in Burma. And there in Burma, they had this humongous bell. The Buddhists did. And this bell, for whatever, in some kind of hurricane or storm, it went and fell, and the building crashed, and it went into the river there, into the big body of water, and it sunk in bunches of mud and clay, and they couldn't get it out. And the story was, it's buried, and no matter what you try to do, no wagons, no horses, no oxen, nothing can get that bell out of that deep body of water. Well, this Christian came along. He says, "Hey, if I get the bell up, can I have it?" And they said, "Oh, you'll never get the bell up." He says, "I understand that. But if I get the bell up, can I have it?" They said, "Yeah, you'll never do it. You'll probably die. You'll probably drown trying to get it up. But if you get the bell out of that clay, out of that mud up, you get it up, you can have it." So what he did, he, with a team of people, went and cut down bamboo sticks. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bamboo stick. And they would swim down and they would attach that bamboo through that bell, on that bell, holding that bell. And they put one piece of bamboo and two and three and those bamboo poles, and they just put more and more and more and more and more and more and more. Day after day, "Told you you'd never get that up, told you you'd never get that up, told you you'd never get that up." They just kept attaching that bamboo poles to it. And eventually, there was just enough bamboo that it picked it up. And it floated. And it came up. When it came up, they said, "Yeah, we just got a bell." And this is what A.B. Simpson writes. That's the way some of our scenarios are. And what we do to pull our scenarios out of the mud, out of the muck, out of the clay, is prayer. And you just keep praying, and they keep laughing, and you just keep praying, and they keep mocking, and you just keep praying, and they say, "You're never going to get it up, it's not going to work," and you just keep praying, and praying, and praying, and praying, and praying, and eventually, your prayers will overcome the muck, the mire, the clay, and it will float what they said never would float. The question is, do you got faith to believe that will cause you to pray? Or are you just going to throw in the towel and say, nah, never going to happen? Number three, the asset of faith. And here it is. You have the same faith available to you that everybody in Scripture did. Number four, and I'm done. The avenue for precious faith. Look at the last part of the verse. We have obtained like precious faith with us. And notice this last phrase. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, before I get to the last part of the verse, notice the first two words. Simon Peter. Now, I don't know what it was like growing up where you lived, but growing up where I lived, if my daddy ever said, Mays O'Neill Jackson, that means I better come to attention. I mean, if he ever said my full name, that meant there was something that was happening that was not lawful and my daddy wanted to get my attention. Mays O'Neill. Well, that's what Peter starts off this verse with. He starts off with his name, Simon Peter. Starting off with his past. You know what kind of awful person I was before Jesus. You know what kind of awful person I was, a trickster. I was just all over the place. It was horrible. But now I am Petros. Upon this rock I'll build my church. And he says, hey, if you want to know how you go from being a Simon to being a rock Peter, he tells you. Last part of the verse. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, the man that I am today is not the man that I used to be because of the righteousness of Christ. And if you're here, you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I was doing last night. You don't know what I've been bobbed in. You don't know what I've been looking at. You don't know what I've been smoking. Listen, you don't know Jesus. And Jesus has the power and the ability to turn the roughest, meanest, crookedest, if that's a word, of society into the most godly of society. And you say, how? Listen, the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. So you will never get to heaven by trying to be good? No. Your good is as filthy rags. No. It's not going to be like that. You will get to heaven by accepting Jesus, by accepting His righteousness. Jesus, I believe you suffered, you bled and died, you offered me your righteousness, and you took my hell. I believe in you. He's saying, this avenue of precious faith is available to those who have accepted the righteousness of God through our Savior, Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Let me show you this verse and I'll be done. For unto you it is given on behalf of the Christ, on behalf of Christ, to believe on Him. Your ability to stand before God in heaven, justified and redeemed. Listen to this. Notice what the verse says. Is given to you through Christ. You have the faith required to accept Jesus. What will you do to it? You're going to reject it? No. That whole stuff, he was born of a virgin. That whole stuff that he buried and rose from the dead and went back up and he's coming back down. I just don't believe that. That's fine. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to stand before God in your own righteousness. You're going to stand before God in your own sin. You're going to stand before God in all of your wretchedness will be made manifest. I don't know if it will be on a big screen, but do you really want all of your thoughts portrayed on a big screen? Do you really want your actions, those things that you think you've covered and nobody has seen, do you really want that portrayed before God and everybody? All of your sin will be portrayed and you will be condemned. You say, no, I don't want that. Listen, nobody will ever know. If you take Jesus, Jesus, I need your righteousness. Jesus, I need you. I accept you. I commit my life to you. All of your sins are washed away. All of your sins are vanished. Jesus says he puts them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Listen. If you get Jesus, you get his righteousness. If you get Jesus and his righteousness, you never have to deal with your sin. If you reject Jesus and his righteousness, for all of eternity in hell, you're going to have to remember your sin. Why did I do that? And your greatest sin was rejecting Jesus. Pardon me, I shouldn't say this. Your dumbest sin was rejecting Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Jesus died on the cross for me. He took my sin. He took my hell so that I could take his righteousness and go to heaven. Hey, what are you doing with Jesus? It's true in the matter of salvation. This, and I'm done. It's true in the matter of your scenario as well. The way you have faith to overcome your certain scenario that you're in. Preacher, you don't know what this problem and this situation, this crisis that I'm going through. The answer is the righteousness of Jesus. When God sees the righteousness of Jesus applied to your account, he comes, he says, oh, they're my child. I'm not going to let my child suffer. I'm going to help my child in time of need. The righteousness of Jesus. God, I need the righteousness of Jesus in this scenario where I work, in this scenario where I live, in this scenario where I'm married. God, I need your righteousness to show up to help me in my time of need. And he will swoop in and help you. You guys know the little book, Treasure Island, by Robert Louis Stevenson. His father was an engineer. He writes and he tells this story that his father was an engineer and he installed lighthouses along the shore. Well, they were going out and they were in the ocean and they were examining his lighthouses. When a storm came up, very unbeknownst to them, a massive storm, a hard storm. They weren't expecting it. It was just rocking them back and forth. Mr. Stevenson writes, I thought as a 9-year-old boy, we were going to perish. I was holding on to my daddy for everything that I was worth. And my daddy says, Robert, stay here. Robert, stay here in this little cabin. I'm going to go up on deck and I'll come back, but you stay here and you wait for me. His dad went up on deck, went into the little room where the captain was steering the ship. And he looked at the captain and then he came back down to Robert Lewis. And Robert says, Daddy, are we going to live? Daddy, are we going to make it? Daddy, are we going to survive this storm? This is what his father said. Son, I've looked in the face of the captain, and we're going to be all right. That's faith. Where you say, God, you're God, and I'm trusting you. My eyes are on you. I'm fixed upon you that you are going to protect me in this scenario. It's true for salvation, but friend, it's true after salvation for today and for tomorrow. Whatever you're in, what you need is precious faith to trust God for your scenario. And if you do, you'll be just fine.